So, Amy, this morning is
week four
of
our Good Shepherd
series. Good Shepherd part four, mm-hmm. the quattro. We're so excited about this. And tell us where we've been kind of the first 3 weeks.
So, week one, we talked about what a good shepherd is. Mm-hmm. We talked about how Israel had a history of shepherds that led them. That was a word that they used to refer to the king. And also the importance of having a good shepherd. Israel had good shepherds and they had bad shepherds. And the character of the shepherd is what determines the welfare of the sheep.
Right.
And then in week two, we talked about how the shepherd leads us and provides for us. The Bible talks about peaceful streams and green meadows and all these places that the shepherd leads the sheep in a way of providing for them and giving them what they need. And then last week, we talked about how the shepherd walks through the valley with the sheep and his rod and staff and the correction and discipline and training and care that those tools in the shepherd's hands provide for the sheep. So if you haven't seen any of those messages, I would encourage you to go back and listen to them. But we're going to move forward in our Good Shepherd series this morning. And we're going to start as we have the last 3 weeks with reading Psalm 23 because it's so short. So Jason, you want to go ahead and read Psalm 23 for us?
Just open your Bible if you want, Psalm 23, even if it's a familiar passage to you. But verse 1, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Raise your hand. We asked you this first week. Raise your hand if you learned that verse. If you know that passage by heart, give us some thumbs up in Facebook. And so we want to continue, and we are going to jump into, we're at verse 5 now. Mm-hmm. Okay, so if you've not been with us over the first 3 weeks, this is where we're at. We're in verse 5. But I want to ask you a question before we get started.
Yeah, we always like to start with a question, get you thinking.
Get you thinking. Are you feeling optimistic about life? Mm. Are you feeling optimistic about life
right
now?
Good question.
Okay, feel free to respond in the comments if you'd like to. But throughout
this... Send us a private message if you are feeling not so optimistic.
You don't want to share publicly how you're feeling. But I do want to remind you as we go forward, the Cornerstone Connect number 605-215-5150. You'll see it on the screen here below. Mm-hmm. Feel free to text us if you've got a question about the message.
Yeah.
We use this to continue the conversation in our messages at Cornerstone. Yeah. And we would love to connect with you, especially if there's a question about anything that we've taught or anything that we've said. We'd love to hear from you.
Yeah, if there's a way we can clarify something for you. Or sometimes even out of those questions, we've developed other things that we'd like to teach about because it's clear that people are hungry for more. So if there's any way that you want to engage with this or any questions you might have, send those in to us so that we can make sure that you're getting everything you need to get out of today's text and out of this teaching.
Right. We would love to hear with you, connect with you. So let's jump into part one. Okay. This is the next verse in our passage. It says, and this is part of it. It says, "You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies."
Yeah.
And so does that mean I'm like having lunch and there's a bunch of bandoleros around or whatever?
Are those your enemies?
Yes, I just assume I have enemies and they're bandoleros. I don't know if that's... I apologize if I offend anybody. I don't even know. But
no, I don't think that this is speaking literally. Now, obviously, when we go to interpret scripture, it's important to consider what kind of text we're reading.
Right.
There are a lot of different types of writing in the Bible. Mm-hmm. And I think we've talked about that in some of our other series. We talked more about more than just a book and how the Bible came together.
Right.
But Psalms are songs or poetry.
Right.
And so they often use a lot of metaphor. And I think that's what's happening here. It's not talking about a literal table. It's more of a metaphorical sense. But I think it does speak to the hospitality of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And when I think about being prepared a table, I think of all the times in the New Testament when we see Jesus dining with people.
Okay.
He dined with Pharisees and he dined with sinners.
Mm.
But he always had this gracious way of opening up a place of fellowship for people who needed to come and know him. Of opening a place where they could bring their questions to him, where they could grow in intimacy with him. And you think about that even now. I know I personally have really missed having people in my home. We like to have people in our home over for dinner. We had this last round of life groups we hosted in our own home.
Right.
And I like gathering people around the table in my home. I like to prepare a table for people because there's something special that happens relationally, I think, when we gather around the table. And I think
we eat.
Well, that's
very important.
That matters a lot. Good food. But good food opens, I think, right. It opens a door into our
sure.
hearts. And as we're sort of busy eating, sometimes we can get to those mm-hmm. meaty conversations and really get to know one another. And if you think about the Lord, you know, where it's talking about him being our good shepherd, he's prepared a table for us. I think it just really speaks to the intimacy that he wants mm-hmm. to offer us and how he wants to draw us into a place where we can have a deep conversation with him and have our needs met, but also kind of join with him in fellowship.
Yeah, that's interesting. One thing I saw as I was studying that mm-hmm. there's an author that has viewed this whole passage sort of through the lens of the sheep.
Okay.
Because he had shepherded sheep in the past, has some experience being a shepherd. And so he's picturing David writing this with his experience as a shepherd. And really this whole chapter he views as a journey that the sheep would go through with the shepherd through the seasons of a typical year.
Okay.
And so they would leave their home pens at a certain time where they would winter. They'd okay. overwinter at their home and in their pens and in the shepherd's home. And then as he leads them out into their own pastures, that might be the green meadows.
Yeah, that we talked about a couple
waters.
Of weeks ago. Okay.
Yes. And then in the summer, leading them through the valleys, trying to get to the higher ground where it's cooler,
okay.
where there is grass and they can eat, where they haven't been able to eat, you know, because it's snow, because of the weather, up through the valleys and the mountain passes. Okay. That kind of would have been part three last week as we were talking and
mm-hmm.
parts one and two of this message was really that home range. That was home for the sheep.
Mm-hmm.
And then at a certain point in the summer before fall, they reached this higher mountain area where there would be plateaus.
Okay.
And in many parts of the world, multiple parts of the world, they would call these mesas,
mm-hmm.
which literally means table.
Okay.
And so this author is picturing this through the lens of the sheep.
Mm-hmm.
Where prepare a table for me. So this is another pasture land away from their home that the shepherd has probably gone ahead of time, because in his experience, he would go ahead of his sheep and remove plants that are potentially poisonous to the
okay.
sheep.
So he's prepared the table for
he
them.
He is.
Okay.
So just as he would prepare, we talked about the still waters of how the shepherd might have to dam up a stream
yeah.
or a
mm-hmm.
creek or river to create a still water, because sheep are spooked by fast-moving, raging water. Again, we see this preparation, this meticulous care of the good shepherd, and preparing this kind of this far off pasture up in the hills, up in the mountains, a tabletop, so to speak,
yeah.
a plateau of this land, but where the presence of my enemies comes in, often the predators, they will take a higher vantage point.
Okay,
as the sheep are in the meadow, predators would sit up on the hills or ridges above this flattened land up in the mountains, because
mm-hmm.
they're looking for sheep that have wandered off.
Okay.
Sheep that are weak or lame,
mm-hmm.
okay, and that's who they would attack, a sheep really that has strayed from its shepherd in a sense.
Okay.
And so that's the picture he gets,
mm-hmm.
okay,
well,
of the board.
What an interesting picture, too, of this journey
yes.
that the sheep have gone on.
Yes.
Because it reminds me, we've been reading through the book Pilgrim's Progress as a family, and when you compare our spiritual life mm-hmm. to a journey, and you think about those valleys that we'll go through, but ultimately, you know, going back to the idea of preparing a table,
yeah.
the Bible says that in Revelation, when we're ultimately with the Lord, he's going to prepare a wedding feast for us. as Jesus, the bridegroom, finally unites with his church, the bride, for all eternity. And you think about as we travel through those valleys, that ultimately where we're trying to get to is the feast that the shepherd has prepared for us. I love that picture
yeah.
of a journey that the sheep go on throughout several seasons of the year or of life.
And again, a common theme throughout this chapter is the care, the meticulous care of our good shepherd.
Yeah.
And for us as Christians, that's Jesus. And you know, the shepherd even going before the sheep to these places to make sure that it was okay and ready for the sheep,
mm-hmm.
for the sheep to thrive, even if there are enemies, even if things come up. I think of Deuteronomy chapter 9, where, look it up if you're not familiar with this, the children of Israel, ancient Israel. The Lord rescued them from slavery in Egypt.
Yeah.
And they are camping around the Jordan River, waiting to go take this land that had been promised to them for generations.
Okay.
And the Lord says, I'm going to go ahead of you.
Okay, yeah.
And I have thought of that as I think about the shepherd going ahead of the sheep and preparing this table land, the tabletop land for the sheep. Even if there's enemies around, like the shepherd's going ahead of them, the Lord's going ahead of them saying, I'm going to prepare this place for you. And in Deuteronomy, he's like, I'm going to go ahead of you and I'm going to fight for you.
Well, that's what Jesus says to his disciples in John chapter 14, too. He says, I'm going ahead of you into heaven to prepare a place for you. In fact, that's what we're waiting on right now. Jesus is preparing a heavenly home for us where ultimately all of our needs will be met, all of our desires will be fulfilled.
Yes.
And so I think that's a pattern throughout Scripture that God is going ahead of us and preparing a place for us.
Yeah, so listen, if you're a follower of Jesus this morning, maybe you're in a place that's not comfortable. Maybe you feel like the enemies are surrounding you or circling you. If you're a follower of Jesus, you've got to remember that your good shepherd is there. Mm-hmm. He's been there before you ever got there, and lean into him because he is your protector. Mm-hmm. David's writing Psalm 23, and David writes in Psalm 18. You guys write it down. Psalm 18, verse 2 says, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. And so David, very much these words of trusting in the Lord, because the Lord is his protector, the Lord is his provider, the Lord is his refuge. And then just a few chapters later, like, the Lord is my shepherd that goes before me. Wherever he leads me, whether it's in the meadows, the still waters, in setting a table before me, providing for me. Even if I'm surrounded by enemies, even in the valley of death, I'm not going to fear because my shepherd's with me and my shepherd's gone ahead of me.
Yeah.
And he's going to protect me. He's going to be with me.
Well, that's so great about the omnipresence of God is that he can both go ahead of us and be with us. And so it's not like, well, hey, I have to leave you, which Jesus, in his physical body did have to leave the disciples to go ahead and prepare a place for them. But like we talked about last week, he sent the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
To come and dwell with us. So he's gone ahead of us and he's with us. Which I think leads into our next verse, right? Because it's talking about, you anoint my head with oil, and anointing is a great symbol for the Holy Spirit, isn't it?
Yeah. And we see this pattern through Scripture, the oil being anointed, symbol of the Holy Spirit. And as far as the sheep, it was very, and again, this journey of the sheep, if this is really what David was thinking, at this point in the summer, even though they're up in this mesa, the plateau, this fertile area that they couldn't get to any other time of the year, what happens in summer, midsummer, later, that's when the insects start coming out. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's when the pests start arriving. Yeah. So even in there, though they're in this fertile place, even though there might be enemies lurking, they're being protected by their good shepherd, but still they got to deal with these pests.
Okay.
These pests. All around. Do you like it when I pass?
Yeah.
Everybody at home, do this. It's just, I don't know, just make you feel like you're joining in with it.
Are we going to have bugs here this summer in South Dakota?
I have no idea if they have bugs here. We'll find out. Apparently they have bugs here. But the shepherd would take oil sometimes in combination with other things, okay? And they would make a mixture and they would rub it. I'm not going to do it on, okay, maybe I want to. They would do it on like sheep's nose, their snout, okay, and on top of their head, especially the part of their face and head that is more uncovered by their wool.
Yeah.
Okay, because,
might be vulnerable to like flies.
Flies, mosquitoes, insects, they could get parasites, they could get sick. And the sheep being so skittish, okay, I mean, that could just really disturb the herd of sheep and just really wreak havoc. Mm-hmm. Okay, and so it says, you anoint my head with oil. It was a very comforting, a very calming, but very protective. Yeah. And if we think of it like the Holy Spirit, the peace of the Holy Spirit in our lives as believers, hopefully that's present.
Yeah.
Because Lord can bring that peace even in the midst of those annoyances.
Yeah.
Okay. Have you ever been annoyed? Of course you have. We all have. Maybe you're in the midst of, we asked you earlier if you're feeling optimistic about life. And I know that the coronavirus has been a big inconvenience for everybody. Some of you already know. You're already annoyed that we're already back in the building. You know who you are. But in the midst of this, are you experiencing, as a follower of Jesus, are you experiencing the peace of the Holy Spirit?
Yeah. Well, that reminds me of a verse in the book of Romans. That is probably, part of it is probably familiar to a lot of you. It's talking about when we go through trials, which I think we could all agree that this last several weeks has been a trial for most of us in one way or another, whether it's just you've been cooped up with your family and you're getting kind of annoyed by them, or whether you've had lots of income or your job hours have changed or your job is more stressful or Right. Other things have changed for you. This has been a time of trial and testing for most of us.
Yeah.
And in Romans, it says that we know that testing produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character hope. And a lot of people stop right there, which is a mistake, because the verse goes on to say, it's in Romans chapter 5, verse 5, it says, and our hope doesn't disappoint us because God has poured his love into our hearts.
That's good.
Through the Holy Spirit that he's given us. And to me, that's like such a picture of like what the shepherd is doing with the oil and the sheep and the act of anointing, that God has poured his love into our hearts because he gave us the Holy Spirit. And that is the ultimate hope that we have as we persevere through these trials.
Yeah. I want to read one more. I was thinking of Philippians. This is a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to a church in Philippi. It kind of speaks to this and speaks of what happens during these times when we appeal to our good shepherd.
Yeah.
Who's ready and waiting to anoint our heads with oil.
Yeah.
And as his followers, we have his spirit living in us. But sometimes we just need the Lord to touch us in a special way. Mm-hmm. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. And so I can imagine the sheep, and if they're being bothered by the flies, the mosquitoes, and the bugs, it would be hard to rejoice in that situation.
Yeah. When I think as believers, right? We struggle with this too. I've heard of people, you know, say like, why does the Bible say that we should be able to rejoice in everything or give thanks in everything?
Yeah. So it says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. And maybe that's why we can rejoice, because the Lord is near, because our good shepherd is not that far away.
Yeah.
But it says, don't be anxious about anything. How many of you struggle with that?
Mm-hmm.
Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayers and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And look what happens. This is painting a picture of this when things are wrong, when things don't go, when we need to persevere, like the verse you just mentioned. It says, we present our requests to God. And that is a way of drawing near to God. That is a way of calling out to our good shepherd for help.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. It says, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And maybe you're listening, and maybe you're going through more than just a little annoyance with life or inconvenience. But your follower, Jesus, man, you can go to him.
Yeah.
Go to your good shepherd. He's waiting to anoint you with oil, the oil of peace, the peace of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
It says the peace that transcends all understanding.
Yeah.
And that means that even if none of this makes sense, like, I can feel okay, I can be at peace, even though there's no reason why I should be at peace in the natural sense.
Yeah. And what a picture.
Yeah.
What a picture to the world,
yeah.
to your friends and loved ones who don't know or follow the Lord. If during this time we can move forward with peace and hope, I think that would be so attractive to the world and so unusual that hopefully people in your life will begin to say, what is it? Like, how can you have peace right now? How can you have hope right now? And you'll be able to share the hope that we have in Jesus, because our good shepherd is near and the Holy Spirit dwells within us.
But sometimes we get like stubborn sheep, though, don't we?
Yeah.
We want to wander off and do our own thing.
Yeah.
Okay, we're no,
where those
no longer,
predators can come and get
we're
us.
No longer following the leading of a shepherd, and that ultimately
leads
to bad things for us. It leads to a lack of peace. It could lead ultimately to destruction, but we'd be missing the peace if we don't draw near to our good shepherd and draw near to the Lord. So I want to encourage you guys with that. If you're going through that, man, our prayer for you is that Lord would anoint you with peace through his Holy Spirit, just as this picture that David paints with the sheep. And so we're going to jump to the next part of this verse. It says, my cup overflows. Mm-hmm. My cup overflows. I'm thinking of children spilling things right now. That's not what it's talking about.
What is
this a picture
of? Well, I think, too, like you think about, you know, just the Holy Spirit being poured in and poured in and poured in. It's more blessing than we can contain, but also hopefully, like we were just talking about, it spills out into other people, and they see that in our lives, and it begins to be a blessing to them too. As we're receiving more and more of the Holy Spirit, our peace is evident, our hope is evident, and it overflows into the lives of others.
Right. I think this speaks to the needs of the sheep being met in abundance, like you just said, this overflowingness, which should lead to a contentedness for the sheep. If we go back and just see how the shepherd has led the sheep, provided places to eat, peaceful places to drink, help them with pests, protect them from predators.
Yeah.
Okay, and this journey of the sheep and the shepherd taking care of them. So the cup overflows. And I think as we get to the end, and we're about to the end, and we're going to jump into the last verse here, of David writing and just acknowledging the goodness of the shepherd, which is how we started this series.
Yeah.
Just being overwhelmed with the goodness of the shepherd and how he can take peace in that. Mm-hmm. And being content knowing that all his needs and the needs of the sheep are met.
Yeah, so then, and then it moves into the last verse.
Right.
Which we know says, surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. And I know, like we've talked about, I've known this passage of scripture for a long time, since I was a little girl.
Right.
And I think I've always assumed that this part at the end where it talks about dwelling in the house of the Lord forever is just a promise of the continual presence of God, ultimately in heaven. You know, where you think about Jesus on the cross saying to the man who's crucified beside him, today you'll be with me in paradise. Or in 1 Thessalonians, where it's talking about the rapture of the church and eternity with Christ, it says, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Mm-hmm. And so I sort of thought that this meant the same thing. You know, we're going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever, so shall we always be with the Lord. Kind of means the same thing.
Yeah.
But I was doing a little bit of study, and I found out and discovered that when the psalmist uses this phrase, the house of the Lord, he would not have used that phrase to describe heaven. Like we think, you know, heaven is where the Lord dwells.
Right.
And even though sometimes we call the church God's house, we know that he's not contained by these four walls.
Right.
That he's everywhere and that his home is in heaven. But that's not what the psalmist would have been talking about. The psalmist would have been talking about the temple in Jerusalem, where the physical presence of God actually dwelt in the Holy of Holies. So when he's talking about the house of the Lord, that's what he would have meant. And obviously, no one except priests even lived in the temple.
Right.
And also, you can't live there forever because we are mortal. And
right.
so, as I was reading, one of the commentaries that I read said that a better way to think of this passage or even to interpret it would be, I continually return to the place of worship. That I'm going back again and again and again to the place where I can worship the Lord. So it's not about like the security of knowing that God is with us, although I think we see obviously from other portions of scripture that that's true and that's something we can rest on. But there's something deeper going on here. And what it's saying is because of all these other verses that we've just read, because our shepherd is with us, because he leads us beside still waters, because he makes us lie down in green pastures, because he leads us through the dark valley but never abandons us, because he corrects us and leads us gently and prepares a table for us.
Right.
Because of all those things, it is our responsibility then to respond to him in worship, to return again and again, because we are wandering sheep. The book of Isaiah says that like sheep, we've all gone astray. We've each turned aside to our own way. So it's our responsibility to return again and again to our shepherd and to recognize his goodness to us and respond to it in worship.
Well, in the book I study, I think this goes along with what he's saying, is like, as the sheep follow the shepherd, all of this stuff they just get because of the goodness of the shepherd. Goodness and mercy follow me as I follow the shepherd.
Yeah.
And just as you talk about the journey of the sheep, which is really what you're talking about, the sheep, as they complete this cycle of the seasons, they return to their home.
Mm-hmm.
But even though sheep are prone to wander, like, why would I go anywhere else?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, why would I not follow my good shepherd?
Yeah.
And so the desire for even a rebellious sheep with an independent streak, which, hey, come on, we all are. We want what we want. And we're prone to wandering in rebellion. But it's like, I mean, I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord. I'm going to remain with this shepherd forever. It's like you talked about returning over and over again to the presence of the Lord.
Well, and I think there's so much power in that, too. And we've talked about that before here. But you know, as we were mentioning in the last verse, the need to have the hope and the peace that come from the presence of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Sometimes it can feel like there's a chasm between you and that place where you're receiving from the Lord what you need, especially emotionally. Like if you're in a place where you're feeling despair, you're feeling discouraged by the times that we're in, for whatever reason that might be, I think worship is such a powerful tool for unlocking the things that the Lord wants to give us. And that's not to say that we worship selfishly to receive from the Lord.
Right.
But what worship is worship is a turning of our eyes from our own circumstances up to the Lord. There's even a psalm that I love. It says, I lift my eyes up to the hills. Mm. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And that's what worship is. Worship is lifting your eyes up to the Lord and recognizing him for who he is. And when we take our eyes off of our circumstances, I mean, we can stare at our circumstances all day, and they're not going to change. We've seen that. I mean, I would love nothing more than for all of this to be over. And my kids, too, they come to me all the time, like, I just wish this was over. They're like, I can't do anything about that for them. But what we can do is we can stop looking at our circumstances, and we can start looking upon the face of our Good Shepherd and proclaiming his goodness and extolling his virtues and talking to him about how good he is, talking to others about how good he is, and that will change our hearts. Yes. And that will open doors for that peace and that love and that assurance of his presence to come flooding in and bring us to a place where we have, where we realize that we already have everything we need in Christ.
You know, I asked you at the beginning, are you optimistic about life? You know, and if you're a follower of Jesus, our encouragement is, man, just draw near to your shepherd. Okay, go to him in prayer, draw near to him. Okay, and do that consistently, remain with him. And God promises that his peace can transcend all understanding. It'll protect your heart, it'll protect your mind, it'll fill you. But if you're not a follower of Jesus this morning, man, we would love to talk with you. We'd love to pray with you. Use our Cornerstone Connect number. Use a Connect card. Because if you're not a follower of Jesus, then you're not at peace with God. And that's the most important thing. There's a separation between you and your Creator. You may not even realize that's what you've been looking for your whole life. And we would love to talk to you about this. And so I want to read one verse kind of as a closing. And it's a verse that I really... read a lot over the last couple of years, but as we talk about hope, as we talk about peace, I hope this will be a blessing to you. And we're going to pray this for you. Romans 15, verse 13 says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him so that you will overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. As you draw near to him, as you draw near to your good shepherd, you can be filled with hope, you can be filled with peace, regardless of your circumstances. Why? Because we have a good shepherd that is leading us. We have a good shepherd that is watching out for us. We have a good shepherd that's going ahead of us. He will protect us. Yes, he'll correct us if we need it, but he comforts us. He draws us near to him with his staff, and that's what we've been talking about. So I hope this series has been an encouragement to you. And again, use the Connect card, Connect number if you need to connect with us, but we would love to pray with you and for you. But I want to pray for you now, and I just pray that this... Write this verse down. If you don't write any of the others down,
Romans 15:13.
Write it down. May it be an encouragement to you and make this a prayer. And so I want to pray for you this morning. Okay? Lord, we love you.
Jesus.
We thank you for your presence. Even though we are meeting virtually, digitally, God, you transcend all of this. Yes. And I'm thankful for technology that we can meet, we can communicate, even during this time. But Lord, you transcend all of this. And I pray right now that you speak to hearts. Right now, even as I'm praying, Lord, if someone is listening, watching, that does not know you, I pray that you would speak to their heart right now, and they would know, that even if it doesn't make sense to their mind, that you would speak to them supernaturally, and they would know that there is a Creator that wants to know them. There's a Creator that loves them. Lord, the Good Shepherd, as David calls you, that wants to be a part of their life, that wants to bring them near, and wants to lead them in the life that you've created them for. And so, Lord, I pray that you would speak to their hearts, and God, that you would just help them to make a move towards you. And God, for every believer that may be struggling to be optimistic, maybe struggling to be content, maybe struggling, Lord, whether it's annoyances, Lord, or even dangerous predators, God, that they would draw near to their good shepherd, and they would take hope, and they would find their peace in you. God, your peace that transcends all understanding. Lord, those that are listening and they've made excuses why they can't be obedient to you anymore. They've made excuses, Lord, about things they want to do. God, I pray that you would convict hearts right now and that you would draw wayward sheep back to you.
Yes.
Those that may be thinking about wandering, that you would draw them back to you right now in Jesus' name.
Yes.
And for, Lord, those that are faithful to you, that you would bless them with goodness and mercy and peace. And that you would encourage those listening, or just encourage them. Again, may your hope and peace protect their hearts, protect their minds, and just transform them right now in Jesus' name.
Yes.
So Lord, we thank you for this church. We thank you for everybody listening and watching. And we pray that you continue to guide us, Lord, over the next few weeks, several weeks, Lord, as decisions have to be made. I pray that you just give us wisdom, Lord, we pray, in all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen.